Hello everybody, this is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business as part of our series of podcasts on the top 10 concerns for business and human rights in the next year. Today I'm speaking with Charles Radcliffe, who is a senior advisor on non-discrimination and equality at the UN Human Rights Office in New York. Charles and I have also worked along with his colleague Fabrice Houdard on the standards of conduct for business with regard to LGBT rights and discrimination. So welcome, Charles. I have a few questions about non-discrimination and equality and remedies as we go along. So the first question is, what do you think companies can do to tackle discrimination in its broadest form at the workplace, bearing in mind the human rights framework?
Well, there are lots of things that companies can do, and we have, you know, a lot of experience now from the past years at what works and what doesn't work, and a fairly well-developed set of international norms in this area. Mm-hmm. You know, they can start by reviewing and, where necessary, improving their internal staff policies. That's number one. Make sure that everyone is treated fairly and equally. But secondly, you have to put in place effective procedures to handle complaints where those arise, grievance mechanisms that provide a recourse to staff who feel that they've been treated less than fairly. But finally, you've got to really promote cultural change, I think, in companies. And that means leading, by example, at the very top of the organization, making sure that the management's commitment to diversity and inclusion and to tackling discrimination is very clearly signaled all the way through the company. Make sure that diversity is valued, you know, for example, when it comes to recruitment. And also make sure that training and sensitization measures are in place so that managers and staff at every level understand the importance of diversity and inclusion.
Terrific. I mean, you mentioned the need for mechanisms for grievance settlement that might arise in one of your earlier points you made today. That brings us to the issue of remedies, which has been the focus of the business and human rights community for much of this year and will probably be in 2018 as we go along. What remedies can be made available to affected parties? And more crucially, is it possible or how can companies ensure to build that those mechanisms are credible? Because they rest on credibility ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think remedies, of course, are relevant at two levels. There's the remedy for the individual who has been the victim of unfair treatment. And at that individual level, you may be talking about, you know, reversal of unfair decisions, in some cases compensation for financial loss that has been caused by discrimination, and simply public acknowledgement of an unfair decision or unfair practice. But beyond, you know, that individual remedy and individual reparations, the broader challenge for companies is, you know, what kind of remedies are needed to make sure that further future instances of discrimination are made less likely, create the kind of work environment that works for everyone, whatever their sex, gender, religion, sexual orientation, ethnicity, or whatever.
Now, when we talk about the responsibility that a company has, does the company bear the responsibility primarily to its own workforce, or does it bear the non-discrimination responsibilities outside as well? One area where everyone would imagine the company would have is in, you know, equal treatment of customers and consumers. But beyond that, what are the responsibilities do you see in this area for companies outside the workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the responsibilities that companies have, the basic responsibility is to make sure that it doesn't, through its own operations, discriminate against anybody. And that means, you know, anybody, not just inside the workplace, but also beyond, including when it comes to customers, suppliers, business partners, and so on. That is really part of the basic set of non-negotiable human rights responsibilities that all companies share. And every business is expected to carry that out and carry out whatever due diligence is necessary to make sure they meet that standard. So it's not just about making sure your staff are treated fairly. It's about making sure that you as a company are not contributing to discrimination at any level in the communities where you do business. And I think it's also important to make sure that, you know, you recognize that beyond that responsibility, companies also have incredibly important opportunities to make a wider positive impact. So if a company is really committed to doing social good, then it has opportunities every day to go beyond that minimum standard, beyond simply making sure that it itself is not contributing to discrimination, by doing good in the communities where they operate, by supporting local community organizations, by taking up and challenging instances of discrimination, by using their leverage and their resources and their access to try to push for anti-discrimination measures to be taken.
My next question is focused on one particular group, and that is the women's groups, who have called for greater representation of women at boardrooms to change corporate culture. Do you think such affirmative measures are necessary, sufficient? How far do they go?
Yeah, look, there's a really growing support for affirmative measures across, you know, large parts of the business community, because there's a recognition, I think, that it's not just feasible, but that it is beneficial. Women's empowerment principles call for at least 30% of women at all decision-making levels in companies, and that includes, of course, at the board level. And we've had a lot of studies, you know, from McKinsey, Catalyst, a lot of other organizations, research institutes, that have cataloged and documented the benefits to a company's financial performance. In the end, you know, including more women, including more different people of different backgrounds, different perspectives from different minorities, is the best antidote a company can have to, you know, the risk of what people call the echo chamber, being blind to the risks and opportunities that businesses have. And by bringing in different perspectives and different information, companies equip themselves better to perform better. So it is definitely feasible. Definitely necessary. There are benefits. There's no shortage of guidance and support that's out there for companies that want to move in this direction. But the critical thing that has to be present, I think, is a commitment on the part of the company's leadership. It has to come from the top, and it has to be part of a systematized, coherent, holistic approach. It can't just be a one-off initiative. There needs to be a commitment to really drive it through, to make sure that women's representation is achieved, and to make sure that the corporate culture changes with it.
And my final question is actually about these emerging standards and that have come, and you know, the one that we worked on together, which is dealing with the LGBTI community. These standards are path-breaking. They go very far, even if I see so, and you also say so, which we would, of course. But what kind of remedies can be developed within the context to prevent and eliminate discrimination against LGBT people?
First of all, working with you, Salil, on these business standards has been such a terrific experience for
us. Thank you. For me too.
And, you know, you are responsible for so much of what is good in these principles. But I think what is the defining feature of the approach we put forward together with you is, you know, to go back to my last point, recognizing the need for a holistic approach, one that is, you know, not just a narrow initiative, but companies need to embrace change within the workplace, beyond the workplace, in their practices and their policies. So the kind of remedies that we focused on, you know, making sure that companies exercise due diligence to make sure that LGBTI people are not adversely affected, number one. You know, making sure that workplace practices and policies are fair, people are treated fairly and equally, there are equal benefits, and people have recourse when they feel that they've been discriminated against. Making sure that, you know, there's sensitization and training for managers and staff, addressing negative stereotypes that often drive discrimination. And then taking that commitment beyond the workplace, insisting that business partners also take up the challenge, tackle discrimination against LGBTI people within their workplaces, so you can really have a ripple effect. And then finally, going back to the point of using a company's access in the market, its leverage, its resources to push for better protection for the rights of LGBTI people, wherever that company does business. That means, you know, raising these issues in their dialogue with the authorities. It could be, you know, using their public profile and their marketing. It could be supporting local LGBTI community organizations, cultural festivals, pride marches, whatever it may be. There are so many opportunities that companies have to, you know, use their own presence in the marketplace and in communities to push for positive change.
Yep, and that challenge is going to remain, not just in 2018, but beyond. So thanks very much, Charles, for this, and wish you all the best in your work.
Thanks to you, Salil.